Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I know some people, go volume, please. Some people start looking at their watches, thinking about service was moving until that outbreak up here. And yeah, you got other places to go. But you need to understand, if you're worrying about time on your watch, you're worrying about the wrong time. Brothers, can I have a little... A little more V, please. And I found out that there's another mama's boy besides me in the church. God bless you, Brother Sean. Birds of a feather flock together. We love our mamas. We're not overlooking anyone, but if you are a first-time guest here at worship, won't you please stand all first-time worshipers that here at Goshen, please stand. Amen, amen. We're all family today. We're all family. Just take a moment and reach over and hug the person that you're closest to and say, I love you, and you can't do a thing about it.
I love you, and I can't do a thing about it.
No. I said one person, but you can't stop the flow of love. Amen. 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 Brother and Sister Brazil, glad to see you in the house this morning. We continue to pray with you as your mom has transitioned. We hold you in prayer, and we're grateful this morning to have the consecrated chef of the universe. Our sister Gail is back in worship this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord just continues to move in the house of Goshen. There are two new voices that you are hearing over in the choir. Sister Tao, please stand, and Sister Nina. We're going to have to get a restraining order for Sister Nina. When it comes to worshiping the Lord, she cannot help it. Amen. Won't you join hands with the people closest to you as we prepare our heads and hearts to hear the word of God? God, we give thanks for this opportunity to worship you. We give thanks for the wind and the move of your Holy Spirit upon us in this house this morning. God, we give thanks that you continue to move and shape us and empower us and transform us and heal our hurts and move us to higher levels. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in us today. God, as your word comes forth, that I be not a blocker of your blessing upon your people. I pray that you hide me behind your cross, that your word and your will be made known to us all. This by faith we ask in Jesus and give thanks in advance. And the people of God say together, amen.
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 Say it like you mean it. Come on,
amen.
Church.
Amen.
Amen. Scripture was read in your hearing. I just want to emphasize a few verses. Familiar passage of scripture, Philippians chapter 3. Verse 12, now that I have, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own. I press on to the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. For many live as enemies of the cross. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears, their end is destruction, their God is the belly. Their glory is in their shame, their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We will transform the body. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be confirmed to the body of his glory by the power that enables him to make all things subject to himself. Amen. On this eve, Brother Wims, of Election Day coming on Tuesday, I want to preach from the theme, pursuit, pressure, persistence. Pursuit, pressure, persistence. Repeat after me, please. Possibilities are fertile. When you pursue, add pressure, and are persistent. One of the great African-American writers, James Baldwin, once wrote, "To be a black man or to be black in America is to be present at your own lynching." How so, you might ask? The systematic dismantling of affirmative action, for starters, that's a lynching. There are government officials who try to say with a straight face that racism no longer exists. And as a result, there is no longer a need for scholarships for African Americans. Yet there are scholarships for Chinese, Japanese, even Canadian, people of Canadian descent. The government says it's justified because those scholarships are not race-based, but culture-based. For the government family to imply that African Americans don't have a culture, it's a lynching. The systematic dismantling of Voters' Right Act, a people's right to vote, or the Voters' Right Act, is a lynching. Voter suppression by changing the demographics through gerrymandering, and voter suppression by intentionally not accepting absentee ballots, which is going on right now, and the purging of persons from the voter rolls in certain states in order to diminish the number of potential African American voters to ensure white voter dominance.
That's right.
Y'all not really feeling this. Check this. In Dodge City, Texas, they not only closed down many of the voting precincts, but they moved the precincts out of the area in which people could get to easily, knowing that people did not have transportation or public transportation did not go to that voting precinct. That's a lynching. The African American male makes up approximately one third of the national school enrollment, but over half are suspended. That's a lynching. In recent months, black people have been harassed or arrested or killed for such reasons as driving while black.
That's right.
Did I say harassed, arrested, or killed?
Yep.
Driving while black.
Mm-hmm.
Shopping while black. Sitting in Starbucks while black.
Yep.
Feeding the homeless while black. Cooking out in the park while black.
Yep.
Campaigning for office while black. Babysitting while black. And get this, waiting for a tow truck.
Come on.
While black.
Yeah.
Family, I find it strange how unarmed black people are likely to be killed by police while armed white assailants have shot and killed people, arrested, and lived to tell about it. Y'all not feeling this. I must be in gorgeous Gaithersburg and marvelous Montgomery County where these kind of things don't happen. I'm from Baltimore. Maybe I'm reading the wrong news. I don't know what it is. But I know what this is. It is a lynching. When it comes to being lynched, we need to understand sometimes, family, that the hand that holds the rope that is connected to the neck of the one being lynched is sometimes the same color of the one being lynched. Clarence Thomas.
Hello.
Ben Carson.
Hello.
Vernon Robinson.
Hello.
Paris Dennard. And Pastor Mark Barnes. And, Lord help him, Kanye West.
Pray for
I don't know if you realize, family, but this is a very important election. And depending on if you vote and how you vote and for whom you vote will determine the extent of the continued social, political, and economic lynchings. In 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King gave a speech at the March on Washington, and something very significant was said beyond just merely, "I have a dream." Dr. King spoke and said something that's very important regarding this midterm election season. Dr. King said, "We cannot turn back. We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of police brutality," 1963. "He can never be satisfied as long as Negroes in the South cannot vote, and the Negro in New York believes he has no reason for which to vote." No doubt, family, since 1963, we have made great advancements and achievements. But it's because of people like Medgar Evers and Fannie Lou Hamer and Rosa Parks who gave their blood, sweat, tears, and time to see that we had the right to vote and to advance. And in spite of the progress that we have made, I don't know about you, but I know that there's still much more that is being withheld from us that we ought to be experiencing. That ought to be a shout for everybody. Just as I believe that America is trying to take back that which we have already achieved. This is why we must not become comfortable and cautious and complacent. This is why we must keep pressing. Dr. King and Medgar Evers and Fannie Lou Hamer and others have a lot in common with Apostle Paul in our text. They all knew trouble. Like us, Paul knew and had experienced trouble. Paul was willing to take a risk, to take on a challenge for the cause of Christ. Amen. Apostle Paul, like Medgar Evers and most other black folk, are the only people that can draw a lot of attention, so much negative attention, by doing something positive. Amen. Did you hear what I said?
That's right.
Y'all know Apostle Paul was a brother, don't you? Based on the tribe of Benjamin, where he'd come from, Paul was a brother. And in Acts chapter 21, Paul was misidentified. Probably the first act of police profiling by the Roman government who thought that Paul was an Egyptian revolutionary.
Sure enough.
It's in the book. And you do know that Egypt is in North Africa. Uh-huh. Paul was spiritual, powerful, and educated. And that made the Judaizers nervous. You see, the Judaizers were the Jews who taught that in order for a Gentile to be a Christian, they had to first become a Jew. And the males had to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses. But Paul no longer lived by the law of Moses. He lived by the law of the Spirit. You see, the law of the Spirit requires more than just an outward appearance of being a Christian. It also involves an inward change, not a circumcision of the body, but the circumcision of the heart and the mind.
Come on, preach that word.
To be Christian is to live for and to obey the ways of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Judaizers wanted to keep the old customs and the old traditions. And Paul decided to be transformed. Paul did to be a new creation in Jesus Christ. And that made the Judaizers nervous. How many of you know that living for Jesus can make some people nervous? Huh? How many of you know that loving the Lord more than loving church tradition can make people nervous?
Amen.
How many of you know that following the leading of the Holy Spirit instead of following the church crowd will make some people nervous?
Yes, sir.
Transformed people are confident in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
They will look people eye to eye, look them straight in the eye when they're talking as opposed to looking down. And confident Christians don't scratch when ain't nothing itching. Christians are powerful. Christians are powerful, spiritual, influential, and will speak the truth to power.
Yes.
Christians are a triple threat.
Yeah.
They will make some people nervous. When you know that the Lord has blessed you with the capacity to experience greater, it keeps you believing, and not only believing, but preparing and pressing and pushing towards that which the Lord has for you, trying to achieve what God has called you to.
Yes, sir.
Anybody here know that you and God are more, have more, God has for you more experiences for you to be availed to you and for you to understand and for you to enjoy. Every time someone says to you, no, you can't help but say inside of yourself, yes, I will. Yes, I can. When someone tries to hold you off and hold you back, the resurrection power of Christ lifts you up and pushes you past procrastinations and problems. And every time folk try to defeat you and bury you, you keep coming back and God strengthens you to rise above those situations. That'll make some people nervous. The Judaizers tried everything to stop Paul, tried everything to turn Paul around. They tried prison. They tried running Paul out of town. The Judaizers threatened to kill Paul, even tried to ruin Paul's reputation. The same things the Judaizers tried on Paul are the same things that America has tried and is trying on us. Y'all don't hear me? Y'all don't hear me? Y'all not watching TV? Y'all not looking at how they're fear-mongering white folk against black folk, saying that we are sex-crazed and we are killers and murderers? You're not watching the news that your president is talking about Mexicans and Guatemalans, saying that they're bringing in drugs and they're bringing in gangs? There's no bigger gang than the gang over on Capitol Hill. See? Some Latino sister brother might come in with a few thousand dollars worth of drugs in a backpack. But they don't fly planes. They don't have boats. They don't have trains. And once all of that is over here, they don't have banks. They don't have lawyers. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. The Judaizers couldn't stop Paul. And they, why? Because they couldn't take away Paul's anointing. Hear this, family. America cannot stop our progress. Why? Because America can't take away our anointing. Do I have a witness? What God has given to you, nobody can take it and nobody can touch it. That's shout number two right there. Family, I stopped by during this midterm voting season to tell you with all the breakthroughs and all of the benefits and all of the blessings that we have experienced and achieved, there's still more that the Lord has for you. Amen. I've stopped by to tell you that if you want what God has for you, you must stop waiting on God. Because God is waiting on you to show your faith that you are ready to move. Where it says, not that I have already obtained all this, or I have already arrived at my goals, but I press on toward to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. The Message translation says it like this. I'm not saying that I have it all together, that I have made it, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. Bless his name. Family, I'm about to say something real strong here. You ready? Truth is, this upcoming election, it really doesn't matter who's voted in or who's voted out. Did you hear what I said? But what matters is what is demanded of those that we vote in. Missed it, didn't you? You missed it. You missed it. You missed it. You missed it. It doesn't matter if there are more Democrats in than Republicans or more Republicans than Democrats. It's what we demand of those that are in office. Check this, check this. Our agenda is not to be their agenda. Their agenda is to be our agenda. Did you hear what I said?
That's right.
Politicians have gone buck wild, crazy as a bed bug. They're out there talking all this stuff on the news, saying everything out of their mouth. Well, I say, stop. We're going to meet with you. We're demanding that we meet with you. Because they're talking out of their own mouths. They're not representing the people in that regard. I'm not talking about all politicians. But politicians are to represent us, not themselves. And if they don't adequately represent us, the next time it's time to vote, we vote them. We have to demand. In order to get what we want, we must demand what we want. We had a whole lot of politicians come through here over the last 4 or 5 months. And after Tuesday, guess what? We won't see them. Unless we demand to see them. They want to come and sit in here and stand up and give their platform. I said, no, over in the narthex after worship, because this is sacred space. Well, we won't see them, but we must demand to see them. Do I have a witness? You want more African-American educators and administrators in your schools? Demand it.
Amen.
You want politicians to make policy that will positively impact your community? Demand it.
Yes,
I believe the Judaizers would have left Paul alone if he wasn't so demanding. They'd have left Paul alone. I believe the Judaizers would have left Paul alone if he only wanted a small church.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have left him alone if he only wanted a small congregation. I believe the Judaizers would have left Paul alone if he only wanted to have a traditional family church that lived off of memories of old, good old Stewarttown. I'm checking to see if y'all sleep or not. The Judaizers would have left Paul alone if he would have compromised and settled for tradition instead of the transforming power and faith and grace in Jesus Christ. They'd have left him alone. The racists of the Jim Crow South would have left Dr. King and Medgar and Fannie Lou Hamer alone if they only wanted to ride on the bus and not sit in the front of the bus, and for sure not to drive the bus. They'd have left him alone. That the three cousins, Ku Klux Klan, would have left the civil rights marchers and the freedom riders alone if they would want to vote for black men or black women candidates, but to vote for a white candidate. They'd have left them alone. Bull Connors would have left the SCLC alone if they did not want to vote for change of laws and policies to reflect equality. Jim Crow, y'all know him, don't you? Jim Crow would have left the boycotters alone if they had only wanted to have a better Negro job.
Come on.
They'd have left them alone if they only wanted a better Negro school. Jim Crow would have left us alone if we only wanted a better Negro house in a Negro neighborhood. The white nationalists wouldn't be on the rise if we would stay in our nigger place. And hold on to our nigger minds. They leave us alone. There would be no problem if we accepted white privilege. They wouldn't have a problem with us if we lived down to stereotypes. They'd leave us alone. We'd have no problem with white evangelical preachers if we followed the sinful eisegesis, the opinionated interpretation of scripture that said that black folk are under the curse of Ham. They wouldn't have any problem with us. They wouldn't have a problem with us if we felt that we were lesser creations of God, as some do espouse. Everything would be all right if we believed the lie that Megyn Kelly said that there's a European Jesus, which is a lie straight from the pit of hell. See, she must not have gone to the Vatican. Because down in the basement of the Vatican is the Black Madonna and Child. Did you hear what I just said? Over in Yugoslavia, there are portraits of the Black Madonna and Child. So y'all don't get excited about that. Some of y'all got a white Jesus in your Bible, a white Moses in your Bible. And you'll have that there until you learn to read your Bible and know what thus saith the Lord.
Now you're Christian. Yes, sir. Tell him.
Paul didn't want it. Dr. King didn't want it. And guess what? Jesus didn't want that either.
That's right.
Paul says, I do not claim that I have already succeeded or have already become perfect. I keep striving to win the prize for which Jesus Christ has already won for me to himself.
Amen.
Dr. King remix of that passage, Dr. King would have said, or did say, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward.
That's right.
Come here, Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass said, power and those in control concede nothing without a demand. Each and every one of us must keep demanding. We must keep fighting. We must keep thundering. We must keep plowing. We must keep on keeping on until things, the struggle, changes, and we speak out and speak up until justice is served, because there is no justice where there is no peace.
Yes, sir.
I know some are wondering how Jesus thinks about this. Well, Jesus says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I know. Some of us like a humble, meek, and mild Jesus. We love the Jesus that comes to us like we're little lambs and little children. But we don't know about the Jesus that went up against the Roman Empire. We don't know about the Jesus that went up against the religious radicals. We don't want to take on the Jesus that died on the cross, which was ancient execution. Jesus was a revolutionary. Jesus said, no one puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom. Jesus saying, we don't have no room for no chump Christians in this battle. Family, faith brings us into a relationship with God and gives God the opportunity to work in us and to work through us. When Paul got stopped on that Damascus road by the Spirit of Christ, Paul was given a vision and a purpose. Somebody say vision.
Vision.
Somebody say purpose.
Purpose.
Paul was given vision and purpose for his life. And as a result, Paul became committed to press on for the cause of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dr. King was convicted to press on to fulfill the dream. And we need to be clear about something, because it's coming up in a few months. They're going to have it all over TV talking about Dr. King's dream. I have a dream. We're going to hear about I have a dream. But be clear about this, family. Dr. King called it a dream in his speech.
Yeah.
But the Lord gave King more than a dream. God gave Dr. King a vision.
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
You see, a dream is something that you do in your sleep. But a vision is something that won't let you sleep. Do I have a witness? A vision. Are there any visionaries in the house? Anybody here envision greater for their future? Anybody here envision more for their children? Anybody here envision more for the household of faith? You better shout now and give God thanks. You see. A person can have sight and no vision. And a person can have vision without sight. If you have to see it to believe it, guess what? You lack vision. You lack faith. Word tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. If you have to see it to believe it, chances are you have stopped. You have gotten stuck in your success. You are complacent where you are. You think that you have arrived. You think that you are somebody. Not only without faith is it impossible to please God, but without faith, God cannot please you. You ought to be a, that ought to wake up somebody. I'm about to shut down after one more try to make a case for why we must keep pressing. Paul said to us, says to us that he is not yet a complete Christian. There is more to know about Christ, Paul is saying. Paul was already a student of the Torah. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He knew the word forward and back and forward. But he had no spirit. But when Paul got touched by Jesus, something happened to Paul. His spirit was awakened, and Paul realized that his law degree and his religious connection with the synagogue was not enough. His degree and family pedigree did not complete him. Help somebody, Pastor King. The Lord has given us family a purpose and a meaning for life that is bigger than a bank account. The Lord's purpose for us exceeds our known social status. The Lord has an experience for you that is wider than the square footage of your suburban house. Who you are through your relationship with Christ Jesus now is just the tip of the iceberg. What you think you have become on your Christian journey right now is only the beginning. All of us have a Christian calling, a Christ-given purpose.
Yes, sir.
Paul challenges us to pursue it until we find it. Pursue it until we finish it. Pursue it until we get there. The SPRC just did my evaluation a few nights ago, my pastoral evaluation. And when it came to my spiritual development, you know, there was meets expectation, exceeds expectation, and I forget what the third category is, the first one. I said, if you ever see me check the box, exceeds expectation, know that y'all are at my funeral. Because I can't do no more. I can't grow anymore. I can't learn anymore on this side. So I have become all that I can be in Christ when they say ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But until then, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promise him that I will serve him till I die. Do I have a witness? What can therefore stand before us when we call on that great name? Jesus! Jesus! Power filled! Jesus! We have the victory! Say yeah! Stand on your feet all over the church.